Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Vav, and this is an opportunity to begin our Halakha Mishnah. So we're talking, continuing the question about using a mitzvah as a petach, and remember, we've spoken about the difference between things that are considered to be dangerous to use as a petach, either because the person will lie, and therefore we can't really rely, that's the way that Abai understood it, or because the person will come to use a general petach and will end up not going to a chacham, which is the way the Rav understood it. And then we had different levels. We had the iyum level, where the person is too scared to admit it. We had the busha level, where over there was a machlokas, legabe things like Rabbi Nasan, or legabe covered imay va'aviv. And then we had the individual mitzvahs that nobody takes all that seriously. Little things like the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, which people think are just modern Orthodox rabbinic descriptions, you know, some homily. And now we get to some actual questions of whether you're doing something that would be actually usher as a particular mitzvah. So let's say if somebody made a neder that he's going to be in a tainus every 3 days or whatever, you know. So it turns out that he ended up asering Yomim Tovim and Shabbatot, or he's going to not have any wine, or he's not going to have any meat. Remember, we discussed whether we take for granted that he certainly didn't mean to aser Shabbos if he said up until Shabbos. Here the question is, if he definitely would have included times of Shabbos, can we say, if you would have realized that included in that is the fact that you're going to be over on an Isser, to be Mitzayer yourself on Shabbos and on Yontev, would you have made the Neder? So over here, we don't have to worry that he would have said, I would have made the Neder anyway, because he doesn't view it as a direct affront. It wasn't his Dafkan Shabbos, he's not going to eat. What would be the din? Now, this is why this is an important new issue. Then we discussed before the question of the guy who sees a bunch of people eating from his trees, and he shouts at them, and he says, you're all Osir Bahana. It turned out that his father was one of them. So remember that we had a machlokas over there about whether, when we're mevatel the neder, when it comes to the father, it matters what he says he would have said. So if he says, I would have said the same thing, except I would have said, except for Abba, or whether he would have said, you are usher, and you are usher, and you are usher, because he wouldn't have wanted it to look like he meant, even for a second, to include his father. That was a machlokas about the differences in the language. That still applies to this Mishnah. And this is the original Mishnah we utilized over there as well for the general klal about whether Gavi put down their coffee for a minute and write down, although you probably already did, neder shehuter michlolo huter kulai. That was, I'm pretty sure you must have written this down before, and this was Rabbi Akiva Shita. So this was the question. If the Yomim Tovim and the Shabbat, okay, back to coffee. If the Yomim Tovim and the Shabbatot are, in fact, excluded, is the entire Neder batel, or is it only that those days are not included? So this is what happened. So originally, Barishonayu Omrim, that Otama Yamim Utorim V'Shar Kol Yamim Asurim, now you'll recall that the sugya that we had before was said way before Rabbi Akiva was even born, because there it was talking about the machlokas with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It was an early machlokas. And remember the way we explained it over there, that the idea was that the shita originally at Beit Hillel had been forgotten. Rabbi Akiva, because this is generally what happened, that Rabbi Akiva came, and when he was melamed, the Talmidim at the end of his life, Rabotenu Shebedorom, he was at that point machzir all of the things that had been forgotten, and he was mamitera at that point. So this is what it would be referring to, that Rabbi Akiva came along, not that he was mechadeshit, but really made the original psak. This is how this Mishnah ties, therefore, into the Mishnah before, in which somebody yelled at a group of people, including his father. So Rabbi Akiva now brings examples. What do we mean when we say neder shoto mikitzasu tekuloi ketzad? So let's say a person says konim she'ini nehne lekulchem. And that was really one of the cases that we had before about the father. So it turns out that one of them is mutter. So then all of them is mutter. And again, this is dependent in the machlokas that we had earlier. What would he have said? Would he have just excluded Abba that was a machlokas? Whether it's dependent on how he would have changed the language or not. So here we're just talking about the general klal, hutru kulam. How exactly to apply that under all circumstances, that was discussed earlier. On the other hand, if he would have said to a group of people, konem sheninene lezeh, ulezeh, ulezeh, so he makes them a chain of Isurim, so that, and the same way I won't be nemana this guy, I won't be mana this guy, and the same way I won't be mana, so then it's seen as a chain. And if hutara rishon hutru kulan, there by definition, it's considered to all be linked. Mashenkein, if hutara acharon, that doesn't mean nedeshu hutar miksosai hutar kulam. So then if only the acharon was mutar, all of the others remain asurim. Because over here I view the nedarim, since they were repeated to each one separately, as being linked, but not as being one long neder. So over here, Rabbi Akiva would be made it that it doesn't mean neder shutu b'ksasur tukula. It just means anything from the point of the linkage onward would be batal. And here's another such case. And in this case, we see that we make literally a different neder, even in terms of a separate petach for each one. And that's where he says, Shani ne'ene leze korban, leze korban. Since he mentioned by each one of them korban, so each one is a completely separate neder, and therefore a petach that would work for one would actually not work for another one. Because over there, even if he says vilize, wouldn't make any difference. Because why is he mentioning korban lekol echad v'yachad? He wants each one to be independent and not even linked. So over there, even if he did appear to link it with the vav, like in the previous case, it would not help to be mavata one at all. How about if somebody says, konim yayin sha'anito im sha'yayin ra lemayayim? Now here is a combination of the issues that we've been speaking about. So we're talking about being teile the neder on something. That was about locus we had before, whether mentioning the issue is the equivalent of actually making the neder dependent on it. So suppose a guy says that I am not going to be drinking any kind of wine because wine is bad for my stomach. So people tell him, but that's not really true because a good aged wine is actually helps your digestion. So then we understand that without even a petach, it would still be mutter. Why? Because he actually made, he said, beferish, that the reason that it's considered to be osur on me is because of the fact that it's not good for my tummy. So then the halacha is that he is hutar b'myushan without even needing a heter. And this is because he never wanted to asur wine, as he made very clear. This is dependent on the machlokas rishonim on that delicate balance between the ta'ut or the talut. So certain cases, remember we had before, the way that it was presented, the reason that it's considered to be a batal neder without even requiring heter and without requiring a petach is because it's ki'ilu, he was teile in that thing by saying it. That was a machlokas that we had in the Mishnayos yesterday. Or the cases in which he takes for granted something that isn't true. So we had the case, which we'll talk about in a moment, about the girl who was ugly, supposedly. She turns out to be beautiful, which now we're going to talk about actually in the mukkah. Or so we have the same din over there, that once it's hutar b'myushan, lo b'myushan b'vadutar, ela b'chol hayayin. So over here, even though we're not talking about a petach, and we're talking about an automatic bittul of the neder, that automatic bittul is also, as Rabbi Akiva said, because the mukkar of Rabbi Akiva is the pasuk, as we've talked about before. Kikol ayotze mipiv yase. Kikol apiv, kol ayotze mipiv means it's an all or nothing proposition. If your neder was made in a general sense, and it's kol of things that are simply in error, or that the neder wouldn't apply to, so therefore that part of the neder is batal. Once it's batal, is he going to do kikol? It's what he said, but he's not going to be doing it, because it was a ta'ut. So therefore the entire thing falls apart based on the same pasuk. So this would be true whether it automatically falls apart or whether it falls apart because of the heter achocham. The same thing would be true, let's say a guy says, I will not eat onions because onions are bad for my heart. And they say to him, but that's not true. Kufri onions are actually good for the heart. So he then becomes mutter on the kufri because he had made a mistake. And therefore, once that's true, lo b'kufri b'vadu tarel b'chol b'tzalim. And there was once a maisa like this about onions, and Rebbe Meir was matir him in all onions. Now, I don't understand. You said hutara achron, achron mutar, u'kulam asurim. And then you say that when you say a neder, each one of which should be korban, lezev, lezev, lezev. So then it's considered to be a separate neder. Now, I'm very confused. Initially, it was lezev, vilezev, vilezev, right? Without mentioning anything about a korban. It was just the vav made them linked. So over there we said, okay, they're linked in the sense that if it's clear that I meant to aser number three because I had already asered number two, then if I'm matir from number two, then everything from number two down is going to be mutter, right? But what that means is that Rabbi Akiva's klal of this being one neder does not apply. It's not one neder. It's a linked chain of nedarim. Despite the fact that I never said the word konim separately on each one, I never mentioned carbon, so not literally separate nedarim. Then you go ahead and you said that in the event that I would actually mention a korban for each one separately, then I need a petach, which implies that it's only because I said korban that I need a separate petach. But if not for that, it would all be one neder. Now that does not follow from Rabbi Akiva. Who is that mandiyoma? Where do we find that only the mention of a separate korban for each one is what creates a separate neder, mantana. On my Rava, that is actually Rabbi Shimon. So the case over there was that the person is making a shvuat ha-pikadon. So shvuat ha-pikadon, remember, is that there's a special parsha of a chiv of korban for somebody who denies and then swears on that denial that I ever accepted this pikadon from you, or that I borrowed something from you, or that I owe you money. That's called a shvua of kfirat mamon. Once you make that shvua, and then you admit that it was a lie, so then we have that special, you're chayav a korban, and you have to pay an additional chomesh, and so on. That's special halacha. Okay. So over there, it requires not just a denial, it requires a technical shvua in order to be included in the chiyav of Shuas HaPikadon. So there the question is like this. Suppose a number of different people drag you into court and they're all accusing you of having something of theirs and having conducted this operation, you know, where you supposedly are taking care of their deposits and then you denied the deposit to everyone. So what would be machai of you separately for each one of these individuals, which would mean that you'd be chai of a separate karma? Whoa, for every single person that sued you. So that, Rabbi Shimon says, that he would have to say the word Shavua to each one of those people separately. But if he just said, Shavua, I don't know you, and I don't know you, and I don't know you, all of that is not considered to be a separate Shavua. It's all one Shavua. So therefore, it's saying over here in the Mishnah, if you hold like Rabbi Shimon, that unless you said the word carbon, which is the equivalent in the case of neder, to making a shvua l'kalechad v'yechad, that you would not be considered to have separate nedarim. Okay, so this really links it not to Rabbi Akiva, but to this special din of Rabbi Shimon. Konam yayin sha'ani to'em. And then they said to him, but good old wine is very good for digestion and so on, right? So then, why does it have to be good? I understand. Same thing was with the onions. You know, it's said, they tell him, but kufri onions are good for the heart. I mean, do they have to be good for the heart in order for the debtor to be a mistake? Can't they just be okay and not damaging to the heart? Because he was claiming that the reason he doesn't want to drink wine is because it's bad for his digestion. So ask the Gemara, why does the Mishnah say that it's because it's good? Can't it say it's not bad? Tepagle de ein ra, since he did, if you're going to learn that it's a toz or he made a tanai, he said beferish that it's going to be bad, so all we need to do to show the mistake is to say that it isn't bad. Omar Rabbi Abba, no, the Mishnah doesn't mean that. The truth is, the Mishnah doesn't mean to say that if it would only not be bad, that then it wouldn't cancel the netter. It's just saying that the people told him, look, you're so totally off the wall. Not only is it not good, not bad, but it's actually good. Okay, that's quite misleading. We have to see whether there's a particular remez in this Mishnah for other circumstances. The same thing would be true about the onion situation. The same problem. Why did they have to tell him that kufri onions are good for the heart? Couldn't they just tell him that, well, kufri onions don't hurt the heart? So it's typically de eno ra. And here too, Amar Rav Abba. No, it just means that they were telling him, you know, these health myths are just ridiculous. Not only is it not bad for your heart, it's even good for your heart, which actually turns out, of course, to be every time that you discover some kind of belief about health, it turns out to be exactly the opposite, right? Okay. So coffee is bad for you. No, coffee is good for you. Nobody's ever going to say something is indifferent for you. So things haven't really changed very much. Vitamin D is good for colds. No, vitamin D actually causes diarrhea, which makes your cold worse, and so on and so forth. Okay, we are ready for Sir Richard. If Sir Richard is ready for us, this is a question.
Here I am.
Oh, there he is. Potchim l'adam b'chvod atzmo, b'chvod bo. Now, listen, not only that, I mean, let's say we talked about before a petach on the basis of how much money you're going to have to pay because you had to divorce your wife, so now you're going to have to pay her ketubah, right? But the same thing is true that without getting involved in the idea of how much money, I mean, the very fact that he has made a netter like this is going to really get him into trouble in terms of how he's going to be dealing with his wife, how he's going to be dealing with his family, the fact that he's dragged into Besdin to have to give a get and so on. So we tell the person, look, do you understand what this does to your standing in society, what people are going to think about you and how you treat your family and how you treat your kids? Or your kids are going to be called, you know, your children are divorcees. They're going to have a hard issue with shidduchim. And so you can use any of those arguments. Did you think that out? So omrim lo, ilo ayiti yodeh shalemachar omrim alecha, yeah, this guy, you can't get along with this guy. I mean, that guy, he ends up doing the kind of things that he has to be megarish his wives, and they're going to talk about your daughters. They're going to say, yeah, you don't want to get into that family. So they got divorced. Or why do you think that this guy divorced the mother of these girls? I'll tell you what, she's probably been sleeping around with the neighbors. I mean, you know how people talk. So they're gonna say the worst possible things. And if he says, had I realized that, I never would have made this netter, that is fine. So that would be a proper petach. Konim shani noseh plonit ki ura. Now here's the issue that we had before that we brought up. Somebody says, I'm not gonna marry so and so, that ugly girl. And she isn't ugly, she's beautiful. I don't marry black people. It turns out not to be black. It was just the name, you know, maybe it was a little black. I don't marry short people. Well, she ain't short. She's tall. Hare Aruka. So then we said that is considered to be a netter ta'ut, but let me make this very clear. It's not because she was ugly and then she became beautiful, or she was short that became tall. I mean, the whole point over here is that the entire thing is based on a complete mistake But in the event that she would have actually been ugly and then had a nose job, you know, and then all of a sudden she becomes beautiful, that's not included, because that would be no lot. That would not be a ta'ut. Fine. The question of mocha. It's the question of Baruch Avram. Okay, interesting. No, that's the Shaila. Is mocha good enough for me? You know, cape colored. Would I marry? It's unbelievable. Okay. Uma'aseh. Now, this is strange, because here we seem to be saying the opposite. Uma'aseh be'achat shenadar mibat achoto. Everybody was pushing this guy to marry his sister's daughter. It's a mitzvah to take care of your family, and nobody wanted to marry her. And he basically said, listen, she's so ugly, I can't marry her. So he makes an edit that they should stop bothering him, you know. So they bring this girl into Reb Yishmael, and he turned her beautiful. We're going to see what the case was. Omar lo Reb Yishmael, Moshe, we had this exact maisa happen in with that girl in IKEA. So the Gemara is going to explain how did he do this, right? So Yichnisula beit Rabbi Yishmael, they made her beautiful. Omalu Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael calls the guy in. He says, Bani, is this the girl that's ugly that you didn't want to marry? No, he says, no, she's beautiful. No, so Rabbi Yishmael said, okay, so go and marry her. You don't have a netter against the beautiful girl. Now, of course, that is a contradiction, which more will ask in a moment, to what we said before, that it doesn't cover cases like this because it's a neilat. Anyway, when Rabbi Shmuel saw this, Rabbi Shmuel burst into tears, and he said, what a terrible thing that Benot Yisrael should be considered to be ugly when they're really beautiful. The only thing that makes them ugly is that they simply cannot afford what they need to do for themselves to look beautiful. So when a person can't get the right treatments, whether it's dental treatments or hair treatments or whatever it is, people end up thinking that they're ugly. And what would it have taken, you know, to put in a TV appearance where they make them all beautiful? And it would have been great, at least for 10 minutes. So Benot Yisrael are really na'otein. Ela sha'aniyut minavatan. U'kishamet Rabbi Yishmael died. The Benot Yisrael were nosot kina, the way that they did with Shaul HaMelech. Word for word, Benot Yisrael, al Rabbi Yishmael b'chena, v'chenu omer b'Shaul, Benot Yisrael al Shaul b'chena. We find exactly the same beautiful words that were said about Shaul. And it says there, why shall we cry? Hamal bishchem shanim adanim, hamalad izahav alavushchem, that Shaul was makpid to make everyone look beautiful, give them beautiful dresses, and to make sure that they had an Adi Zahav. Now we're going to see a remez in the Adi Zahav in a moment. And it's actually very interesting that the Adi Zahav is a remez to a treatment of gold, which is used, of course, for dental fillings or for a fall or for a cap on a tooth. So that's what it's referring to. So it means that she had a very poorly made false tooth, the Shein Totevet, and it just made her look ugly. Va'asala Rabbi Yishmael Shein Shel Zahav Mishalom. Rabbi Yishmael had a dentist make her a beautiful cap for that tooth, and it changed her entire appearance. And that's all that it took. And Ki Shachiv Rabbi Yishmael. So that's why they realized that it's Mamish Kineged the Adi Zahav of Shaul HaMelech. So Potach Aleha, who sabdana achi, Benot Yisrael and Rabbi Yishmael, Bechena, Hamal Bishchem, and Hamalei Adi Zahav Alavushchen. Very sweet. I don't know if Moshe's really here. It could be that he fell asleep. So, but this was exactly the situation of that girl. He's there, he's not there. Okay. Anyway, so we talk about Rabbi Yishmael, and there were other places where we find also the way that there was such a hakpod of the Talmidei Chachamim to make sure that a relationship to a woman would not be damaged, and that people should respect the underlying beauty or to find something good about what appears to be something awful. So there was a case of a guy who says to his wife, Konem she'i atnenet li, I'm not going to allow you to have any ana until you present some of your cooking to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and see if they consider it edible. If they say it's edible, so fine. Otherwise, forget it. I don't believe anybody could eat this garbage. Okay. The insights into human relationships. Okay. So now the question is, in order for her to get out of the netter, she had to actually get Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon to to eat it. Now, this is definitely not exactly kovet talmid chachamim. So, you know, so now they're going to become the tasters of the guy's wife's cooking. I mean, it's outrageous. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda was toim because he said, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed you to erase the Shem Hashem, right? In order to be mevi shalom ben ish leishto in the din of a seita. So me, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to worry about my name? You know, like, this is bad for my reputation. Meshuggah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to erase his name, you've got to be insane to be more makbid. It's so amazing because that's the way all of us think. We're much more makbid on our own reputation than on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reputation. This is exactly what we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Klal Yisrael at the time of the Pelegish Begiva. Well. So now we're all outraged about the fact that somebody did something that you consider to be immoral in your orthodoxy, you know. But did anybody ever think about what people are doing to the Shem Hashem by allowing for Pesal Micha and for, nobody said a word. Ha! So it's okay. So it's exactly the same situation in everybody's life. So Rabbi Yehuda said, and it's absurd. I'm going to worry about this is not correct. I don't go into such things, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can allow you to wipe out a Shem. It's a beautiful, beautiful limud, right? The HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to preserve a marriage, that's what you got to do. So he ate it. And that's where you're not even sure it's going to help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, you know, we'll, at least we'll give her a chance. We'll give her what to drink. It's a suffix. So over here, alachat kama vekama. So what, I shouldn't accept the little bit of bizoyan that people, oh, Rabbi Yehuda ended up being the taster of the cook. It's a big deal. Rabbi Shimon, he refused to eat it because he felt that it would be a general yurida and kvot ha-mid ha-chomim if people were allowed to get away with this type of nonsense. So Amar, he said, listen, I don't give a hang. Let this guy die. Let his kids be, you know, the children of an almana. As far as I'm concerned, they could all drop dead. Because basically, the guy wants to make Nadarim and then not keep his Nadarim. Yes, keep a Nadarim. And the onish for not keeping a Nadar is that a person can lose his wife. And if this is the way they are, so then this is what's going to happen to them. They'll all be destroyed. The whole family will be destroyed. But I am not going to change my mind about this because otherwise it becomes a pirtza that people will make use of. Al yazuz Shimon mimekomo. Besides which, the pegam et tamid chachamim. Besides which, it's supportive of making nidorim that are just ridiculous. Or we're going to allow people to make a neder, and then we're going to take it seriously enough that we have to get involved to save the family. People want to destroy their lives. Go right ahead. Now, Ehudi Omer LeDavita, there was a guy who said to his wife, I'm answering you with a konam unless you spit on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So she goes and she spits on his clothes. But it didn't touch his actual body. And Rabbi Shimon was mad to her. Omar le Rav Achami diftel Ravina v'hai lezilutu kamachavin. It wasn't the whole point that the guy wanted Reb Shimon ben Gamliel to be insulted and to be put into a matzav of bizoyan, right? I mean, this is not such a big bizoyan. I mean, it's a little bit of spit got on his pants. Oh, Marley, let me tell you something, man. Mirek amani der b'shimeng malil zilutarapta. You're right. If it was about you, maybe you'd be right. But, I mean, it's a tremendous zilusa. So it's a real put down of someone with a chashivat of b'shimeng malil, even this. And therefore, that explains why he said that. You're yoitzu with this. Who the Amalala Devito? Konam she'iat nanetli, I am making a neder against you unless you can show some part of you to Rabbi Yishmael, but Rabbi Yossi, I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, you are totally full of mumim, you know? But if you can find one mum that is acceptable, you know, to Rabbi Shimon, but Rabbi Yossi, then fine. But I need to see something that is nice. That's how some learn it. Others learn mum is lashon mu'um. Let me see if you can find anything, anything nice about you, okay? If you can show one nice thing, I'm a very tolerant man, but I can't find anything nice about you. It's an amazing story. Okay, so they told Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, okay, you got to find something nice about her. So he said, look, you know, maybe like the shape of her skull is good, you know, Shema Roshana'a. Amrulo, yeah, if you like basketballs, then she has a very beautiful head. Okay, so that's not the solution. So maybe she's got beautiful hair. Yeah, right. If you like a broom, you know, that you put on a kid's head when they're playing with it. It looks like Anitze Pishtan, you know, this girl. She's basically raw flax, like they wrap the esrogim in. That's about what her hair is like. Okay, fine, not that. Her eyes must be beautiful. No, her eyes are actually trutotain. Some of it means that they're constantly dripping or they're red. Others learn just trutot means that they're very round. Shema ozneha naot, her ears? Could her ears be beautiful? No, her ears are cabbage ears. They're kfulot. So, I mean, they would look really nice on a deer, maybe, but she ain't a deer. Okay, how about her nose? Her nose is nice, right? Yeah, if you like pig noses, it's nice. Bolomu. Oh my gosh. Well, how about her lips? Maybe she's got beautiful lips. No, she's got lips that are so thick she can barely close them. But what about her neck? She's got a beautiful neck. Her neck. What neck? Shankutu. Her neck is like, it's all sunken between her shoulders. How about her stomach? Does she have like a beautiful stomach? Yeah, you know, if you like bloating, she looks like she's about to take off into the sky as a balloon. You'll think that's beautiful. Okay, fine, not that. Her feet. She's got beautiful feet, right? Yeah, if you like geese, yeah, it looks like the foot of a goose, you know, a little bit spread out, and she waddles around as she walks. Oh, God. Does she have a beautiful name? Maybe she's got a beautiful name. Perfect name. Her name is Lichluchi, filth. Hey, Miss Filth. Oh, he said, now that is beautiful. What a perfect name. Can you imagine a more beautiful name for this person? She is Miluch Lechet with Mumin, and that's what her name is. So it works out perfectly. Based on that, he was mad to her because he found something nice about her, that she's got a very fitting name. Okay. Wow. All right. This is the Pashas of the Gemara. Some of them slightly different gears, in which case they have a different, that Adaraba, but it was because of the fact that he couldn't find anything. Okay. Ahu bar bovel, the solik laro de Yisrael, nasivitata. Now, if you're talking about Americans marrying Brits, ay, ay, ay. I mean, Australians marrying South Africans? Oy, oy, oy. A word means one thing in one country and another thing in another country. They don't understand each other. I mean, you could be asking for lions on the baguette and the women bring in their lion into the house, you know, yeah. You have no idea what might happen. So, okay. So anyway, this guy from Babel, so he marries this woman in Eretz Israel when he got there. So he says to her, cook me up a couple of lentils, will you? This actually happened to me. Anyway, so cook me up a couple of lentils. So, you know, that was the way that you made, when you wanted to have a dish of lentils, and cook me a couple of lentils. Actually, you know, a couple of lentils, okay. I want to be a good wife. He said he only wants two lentils. I guess he doesn't want to waste money. So she cooks him up two lentils. She figures, oh, she'll be like a nice Japanese chef, you know, he decorates her two lentils, brings him a plate with two lentils on it. Oh my God. So Bishila like Trey Talfi. She cooks her two lentils, and he was very angry. Sheesh, what a nut. So the next day he says to her, I guess, like, she just doesn't like taking the trouble, so she, you know, gave it to me. I didn't realize that she's trying to be mechabed him exactly what he wants. So he says to her, all right, how about today you cook me up a basket of lentils? Figuring, okay, at least this way he'll get a bowl of lentils. She took him seriously, and she cooked him enough lentils to feed an army. So Bishila Lagiruya, she did. Another time, Omarla, so then he says to her, okay, bring me tre butzine. So he wants her to bring, like melons, you know, bring me some watermelon. And she understood that he was asking for butzina. Butzina are, lamps. So she goes out to the store and she brings him two lamps. So he says, this is crazy. Take this and break him over the doorstep, which is Bava. But actually, Bava ben Buta, was the Gadol Hador, was outside, and she thought that he meant break them over Bava ben Buta's head. So she goes, and she takes these lamps, and she breaks them over Bava ben Buta's head. So Amarla, he sat there, what did I ever do to you? Why are you breaking this over my head? He said, what can I do? This is what my husband told me I have to do. I listened to my husband. He said to her, you're wonderful. May you be blessed for being an Isha Teva, one Talmud Chacham for each lamp. What do you say about that? So you see again that this is a way in which you can bring out the Teva of a woman for her husband, and this is what they would do, the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel did. Hadron Allah, Rabbi Eliezer.
Well, neither.